Chapter 3. "Look familiar?" Daphne asked Sabrina. An icy feeling crept up Sabrina's back as she studied the fortress. She had been here before. In their trip to the future, Sabrina and Daphne had seen a handful of Everafters build a fort to fight the Master exactly like the one she was now standing in. Seeing the fort in the present was a chilling reminder for Sabrina that parts of the future had not been changed, and events might unfold despite the girl's best efforts to prevent them. The prince smiled as he gestured to the camp. "The Scarlet Hand is harassing Everafters, especially ones that have associated with you and your family. I've sent word out that our camp is a safe haven, and we've had a steady flow of people seeking shelter ever since."
"How did you build this so fast?" Granny Relda asked. "You and Mr. Canis fled into the forest only yesterday."
"We work fast around here," a voice said from behind them.
They spun around and found Mr. Canis. Their old friend was as skinny as ever, with a tangle of gray hair and a black patch on his left eye. He pointed toward a wizard who was levitating a load of rubble left over from the construction of a stone sewer. Daphne raced to the elderly man and gave him a hug. He would have toppled over if not for the cane he carried at his side. Its presence bothered Sabrina. Canis had never needed one before, and it was a reminder that their friend was a very old man. Still, even weakened, he looked more at ease than she had ever seen him. His trademark scowl and pensive expression were gone, replaced with an easy smile.
"It's good to see you, child," he said to Daphne,
then turned his attention to Sabrina's parents.
"Henry and Veronica, among the world of the wakeful. I am pleased to see the spell has broken and you have been revived."
"Goldilocks woke them up," Daphne said, "with a kiss."
Puck stuck his tongue out, as if he was about to be very sick. Granny took her friend by the hand.
"How are you feeling?"
Canis shook his cane.
"Tired. My age is catching up with me. Rather quickly, too. It appears that I have lost some of my youthful strength now that I am free from the wolf."
"Wow," Veronica said. "We've missed a lot, haven't we?" Sabrina quietly agreed. Only the day before, the girls had used a magic weapon to remove the demonic spirit that had inhabited their friend for so many centuries. Now that it was gone, it could no longer torture Mr. Canis. But it appeared he no longer possessed the strength, energy, and keen senses of the monster.
"My yoga and meditation have been invaluable to me. Though it's coming slowly, I'm starting to access memories of my life before I became the wolf,"
he said, as he stepped close to Red Riding Hood and held out his hand in friendship.
"Perhaps you would like me to show you how it works?"
Red trembled and hid behind Granny Relda. Granny knelt down to Red and put her hand on the little girl's cheek. Red looked panicked, and her eyes darted about like a cornered animal's. Granny tried to calm her.
"Red, there's nothing to worry about. The wolf is gone, Liebling."
Red nodded, but did not look convinced. It was clear she was still terrified of the old man who had killed her grandmother so many centuries ago, even though she herself had been controlled by a similar devil until the girls cured her, too. Still, all of these changes had happened so recently, Sabrina was sure it was natural to not want to be best buds with a guy who ate your granny.
"Perhaps another time," the old man said, breaking into a coughing fit.
When he regained control, he turned back to Granny Relda.
"I'm told that Jacob has been attacked."
Granny nodded.
"The hand surrounded the house. Nottingham shot him with an arrow when he went out to confront them."
"The tension has escalated," Canis said. "Charming predicted something like this would happen."
"I'm rarely wrong," Charming said, as if it was a matter of fact and not an opinion. "Now, maybe everyone will realize we need to start training an army."
"An army?" Goldilocks cried.
"So this little camp is really a military base?" Sabrina's father asked suspiciously. Charming stood defiant.
"Not yet, but it's clear that the tide is certainly turning in that direction. The Hand has taken over the town and run all the humans out. They're turning on their own now, pushing Everafters out of their homes and businesses. It won't be long before they are hunting down anyone that doesn't agree with them. We need to be prepared. And once you have beaten the hand, you can point your little army toward taking over the town for yourself, Henry said. Charming sneered. I liked you better when you were asleep.
What does Snow White think of this? Granny Relda said, referring to the prince's on-again, off-again girlfriend.
Sabrina was curious as well. There was no way the pretty former teacher would support a war effort. Sure, she taught a self-defense class called the Bad Apples, but Sabrina had taken her class, and Ms. White spent most of the time teaching her students how to avoid a fight. You can ask her yourself, the prince said, gesturing to an open field near the far wall of the camp. There, they could see 2 dozen ever-afters doing push-ups in the mud, while a woman stood over them barking insults and spraying them with a hose.
Snow is training to fight? Goldilocks asked.
No, Charming explained. She's doing the training. She's in charge of the camp's security. Unfortunately, the only ever-afters who have volunteered are the biggest collection of feeble nincompoops ever to grace a storybook. Ms. White is doing her best to turn them into fighting machines.
Ms. White? Daphne said. Trouble in paradise, Billy?
Sabrina asked. The prince's eyes lowered and regret filled his face. She and I are not talking at the moment. Now, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Seven and I have to check on the state of some cots. The refugees keep coming and the supplies are getting scarce. The former mayor and his assistant left the group behind and marched across the field.
I suppose you would like to say hello to our resident drill sergeant, Canis said, gesturing toward Snow White and her ragtag collection of soldiers.
The group rushed in her direction. As they got closer, Sabrina noticed Ms. White was dressed in full army fatigues and was blasting a whistle at her trainees. The recruits quickly got to their feet and ran in place, their boots filled to the brim with the heavy mud. All the while, Snow called them worthless, weak, and spineless maggots.
Snow, what in heavens are you doing?
Granny cried as she hurried toward the teacher. Getting these plebes into shape, Ms. White said, though she never took her eyes off her recruits. We need to be prepared for hostilities. Have you come to volunteer? We can use all the soldiers we can get.
Dear heavens, I think I'm a little old to go to war, Granny replied.
That's a shame. Any other volunteers? Snow said. It would be nice to have one of the Grimm boys helping out. What about you, Hank? Now that you're up and about, you can make yourself useful. Henry shook his head. We have no intention of staying in this town any longer than we have to. Can't say I blame you, Snow said. This town is a disaster. Taxes are outrageous. No one is safe. Homes are being searched without warrants, not to mention the disappearances. Relda, your son may have a point. I'd go with him if I were you. Granny Relda shook her head. I'm not leaving. Henry scowled and stamped the ground.
So, what's the scoop on you and the prince? Daphne asked.
Daphne, don't be rude, Veronica admonished. No worries, Veronica. The girls have been privy to my soap opera for some time. If you must know, Billy proposed.
Gravy!
Daphne cried. And I declined, Snow added.
What? Why? Granny asked. 'Cause he's a jerk, he's arrogant, he's mean, he's selfish, Sabrina said.
Sabrina, that's not nice, Veronica said, though she didn't sound convincing. Just then, a gray goose hobbled over to the group. New refugees are coming in now. One of them is asking for Geppetto, it honked.
Geppetto? What do you know about this?
Snow demanded as she turned her attention back to her troops. An elderly man covered in mud fell out of formation and ran to Snow White. He saluted her nervously.
Nothing, sir, he shouted.
Geppetto, Granny cried. You're training to be a soldier?
Geppetto nodded.
Things have gotten very bad, Relda. It's not just harassment and stupid laws anymore. Now, if you don't take an oath to the Scarlet Hand and the Master, they just burn your home and business. The toy store is ashes. It's time to fight back.
The rest of the troops let out an exuberant hoo-ah. Well, it appears you have a visitor, maggot, Snow shouted. Let's go see who it is. A large group followed Geppetto as he hurried through a throng of excited ever-afters crowded into the courtyard. Many were hugging friends and family as they trudged through the open gates. Sabrina and Daphne squirmed their way to the front and watched the toy maker report to King Arthur, who was making a list of people as they entered the fort.
Sir, I was told there is someone here asking for me.
King Arthur looked at the list.
Oh, yes, the kid. Over there.
Everyone turned to find a small boy sitting on a huge traveling bag. He was no older than Daphne and was wearing a pair of red overall shorts and a button-down shirt. He had on a yellow hat that sported a quail feather. His face was angular and his nose a bit pointy, and he had a pronounced overbite. His expression was tired and agitated. He stood up and scanned the crowd until his eyes landed on Geppetto. At once, his scowl became a wide, toothy smile.
Papa, he said. Dearest Papa!
Papa, Sabrina and Daphne repeated. The old man was trembling, as if in the midst of an illness, and tears were gushing from the corners of his eyes.
Pinocchio,
he cried, rushing to the mysterious child. In one quick motion, he scooped the boy off the ground, swung him around in his arms, and hugged him tight.
You've come back to your father!
Pinocchio, Henry exclaimed. That's the Pinocchio?
It appears so,
Granny Relda said, a happy tear sliding down her cheek. Geppetto was an old family friend, and the Grimms knew that the toy maker's heart was broken the day he and his son were separated.
Gravy,
Daphne said just before she bit down on her palm. Sabrina should have been happy for Geppetto, but an odd bitterness stabbed at her heart. Instead of joy, she was filled with envy. It was hard for her to see this family reunion and know that her own experience just that morning had been less than sweet. She looked to her father, hoping the scene wouldn't be lost on him, but he was busy talking to King Arthur about possible ways out of the forest. Suddenly, she knew the moment she had imagined for 2 years would never come to pass. Her family had chosen to argue. That was their reunion.
My little pine nut, where have you been?
Geppetto asked his son.
Why didn't you get on the boat with me? I've been a mess for so long worrying about you.
I'll explain it all in good time, Papa, Pinocchio said. Just let me embrace you one more time.
He talks funny, Puck said. You smell funny, Sabrina grumbled. Puck raised an arm and sniffed his armpit. Can't argue with you there.
I thought Pinocchio was a puppet, Daphne said to her grandmother.
He was, Granny Relda said. But after he proved he could be good, the Blue Fairy granted his greatest wish, to be a real boy.
Where has he been all this time?
Sabrina asked. It's none of our business, Henry said. Arthur has given me directions to a path that will take us out of the woods. Girls, say your goodbyes. We're leaving.
But, Dad, we can't leave. Uncle Jake is hurt, Daphne said.
Besides, that's Pinocchio. I want to get an autograph.
Daphne, I've had enough of your attitude, Henry snapped. Now be a big girl and get your suitcases. Daphne stomped off to do as she was told.
Relda, are you sure you won't come with us?
Veronica begged.
Veronica, you know I can't go, Granny said. Look around you. The ever-afters need us more than ever. If the family abandons Fairyport Landing, the barrier will fall, and the chaos will spill out into the surrounding towns. It wouldn't be long before war spreads all over the world. It's this kind of thing that the barrier was created to prevent, so I have to stay.
Jacob is still here, Henry said. When he feels better, he can take over the responsibility.
Jacob is a free spirit, Granny said. I'm surprised he's stayed here as long as he has.
Henry shook his head. If you won't come with us, then you should go back to the house. The protection spells we've put on it will prevent anyone from getting inside. A hurricane could hit that house and you'd be safe. Don't come out until this blows over and don't get involved. I don't want you to end up like Dad. Granny Relda's face fell with disappointment, but Henry either didn't notice or chose to ignore it.
I'll keep you informed of where we land, he continued.
Come on, Daphne, don't dilly-dally. We've got a train to catch.
Daphne slammed Sabrina's suitcase to the ground.
Carry your own bag, traitor.
What did I do?
Sabrina cried. Daphne ignored her and hugged Granny and Mr. Canis, then said goodbye to Puck, Red, and Goldilocks. Then she stormed off to wait by the gate.
So you finally got your wish, frog face, Puck said. You're getting out of Ferryport Landing.
Yeah, I guess,
Sabrina said, eyeing her grandmother. As much as she had wanted to leave the town, it didn't feel right to do it now. Not with a war brewing. Some of the Everafters might be hurt. Granny might need them.
But this isn't how I wanted to go.
Come on, Sabrina, her father said, grabbing her suitcase and leading his wife to the main gates.
They stepped through as the latest Everafter refugees entered. Sabrina turned to look back one more time as the guards closed the gates. Puck stood in the entrance, hands on hips, his wooden sword by his side. His wings popped out and flapped in the summer sun. Granny was next to him, smiling through tears. Red stood next to her, looking afraid. Goldilocks handed Granny a handkerchief, and Mama Bear wrapped a furry arm around her shoulders. Mr. Canis leaned against his cane. Sabrina stared at them intensely, hoping her mind could take a photograph that she could return to from time to time. She wondered if she should say something to these people who had been part of her life for nearly a year. She knew she had been difficult, a downright pain most of the time. Her reluctance, distrust, and general nasty mood had not been easy to tolerate, and yet they had all, in their own way, been by her side at her worst moments.
I should thank them, she thought. I should express some sort of gratitude. I should tell them that I love them.
But the doors of the fort closed before she could get out a single word. A heavy lock turned. A bar came down across the doors and she was outside, exactly where she had always wanted to be, with her parents and sister by her side, safe and sound. And yet, they had not walked long when Henry stopped to consult the crude map King Arthur had drawn for him. When Veronica asked if they were lost, he held up his hand for silence, but said nothing. After more scrutiny, he climbed atop a rocky cliff and peered over the horizon. Sabrina thought she'd seen most of the woods around Ferryport Landing. After all, she had been chased through them by enough monsters. But she had no idea where they were. If Ferryport Landing had anything in great supply, it was creepy forests. She hoped they weren't lost.
He's like this in the car, too, Veronica said, as she watched her husband turn the map one way and then the other.
Sabrina giggled, but Daphne said nothing. She sat on a stump, sulking, her head tilted downward, as if the most intriguing thing she had ever seen were the ants at her feet.
Well, that's new, Veronica said quietly, as if she had just come upon some exotic animal in the woods. I don't think I've ever seen your sister angry.
Stick around, Sabrina replied. It's a regular event these days.
You two have changed so much, Veronica sighed.
We've been through a lot, Sabrina said. We had to adapt.
Henry scrambled back down the cliff toward the family and tucked his map into his pocket. Okay, I know where we are. It'll take about 2 hours to get to the train station if we hurry. We should be able to catch the 6:17 to Grand Central.
So, Henry, what are we going to do when we get to the city? Veronica asked.
I haven't figured it out yet, Henry said, urging everyone to their feet. He walked on, leading them along Arthur's trail.
Oh, so we're just going to stumble into New York City with no money and no place to sleep? That's your plan?
Henry shook his head.
I have some money, enough to get us a hotel for a night. Tomorrow we'll need to tackle our bank accounts.
Tomorrow is Sunday, Veronica said. The banks will be closed.
Henry's steps faltered for a moment, but he soon continued onward. I'll figure something out.
Daphne and I slept in plenty of homeless shelters when we ran away from foster families, Sabrina said. I know places that will take us.
Oh, good, Veronica cried. We can sleep in a homeless shelter. Our problems have been solved.
Sarcasm is not necessary, Henry said. Veronica laughed. Oh, yes, it is. It's the only way to get you to react to what is going on around you. Henry, we can't leave. I'd love to go back to the city, but not this way. With your brother wounded and the entire town in jeopardy. On top of that, we're broke and homeless. I would rather have us sleeping in a gutter in the Bronx before we spent a night in this forsaken town, Henry said. I know you don't agree with what I'm doing or how I'm doing it, but I'm going to protect this family. I can't do that in this town. There's too much ever-after craziness. I don't want my family around it. And to be very, very clear, I mean I don't want anyone in my family around ever-afters, not even the ones that live in New York City. Veronica's face fell. You were eavesdropping? Imagine my surprise when I learned my own wife was working with ever-afters in Manhattan behind my back. I had to. I knew you wouldn't approve. I was trying to be helpful. Isn't that what Grimms do? Don't throw that silly catchphrase at me, Henry said. So now that the secret's out, you must know there are at least 200 ever-afters running around New York City. So if you're trying to get away from them, not a problem. We're moving, Henry said. Moving? Sabrina gasped. Moving away from the Big Apple was not part of the dream reunion she had imagined when her parents woke up. They couldn't move. Yes, we'll move to somewhere no ever-after would want to live. Like where? I don't know. Canton, maybe. Canton, Ohio? Veronica groaned. Human beings don't want to live in Canton, Ohio. It doesn't matter where we move, as long as it's boring, Henry shouted. We'll find some place where the mayor isn't a prince, and the local police aren't magical transforming pigs. Actually, the sheriff of Nottingham is running the police department now, Sabrina corrected. I didn't say goodbye to Elvis, Daphne whimpered. So you're laying down the law, huh? Do I get a say in any of this? Veronica asked. Or am I supposed to play the dutiful wife? Perhaps you'd like me to put on an apron and make you a pot roast, too? Henry scowled. Veronica, that's a bit dramatic. I didn't say goodbye to Elvis, Daphne repeated. Sabrina frowned. She hadn't said goodbye to the big dog either. Veronica continued the argument. You're not going to drag the girls and me through this world hiding from pixies and fairy godmothers. They're out there, and most of them are not bad people. Pixies are not people, Henry snapped. Don't try to tell me what I know about ever-afters. I've lived side by side with them most of my life. My mother's best friend is one. I used to be in love with one. The girls cringed, then turned to their father. He cringed back. Henry had stepped in it, and Sabrina's mother was boiling mad. I'm painfully aware of your previous love life, Henry Grimm. After all, I just woke up this morning from a 2-year sleep to find your old girlfriend sitting over you with her big moon eyes. Veronica, I can't believe you're jealous. This time, Henry put his head in his hands. Sabrina didn't know much about adult relationships, but everyone knew that accusing someone of being jealous of an old girlfriend couldn't be a good thing. Her mother looked like the top of her head might blow off like the cork on a champagne bottle. Jealous? Henry sputtered. I didn't exactly mean jealous. What do I have to be jealous about? I'm the best thing that ever happened to you, pal. Henry nodded sheepishly. You hit the lottery when you met me. I'm smart, I'm funny, I can throw a 60-mile-an-hour fastball, and I'm a babe. I agree. Henry's face was bright red. I am the luckiest man in the world. The family walked on for several yards in silence. Sabrina wondered if her parents would ever speak to one another again, but then Veronica broke the ice. Henry, I know why you want to leave. The loss of your father, the problems the girls have had for 2 years, our kidnapping, I get it. But we're still a family, a team, and we're supposed to make decisions as a team. Besides, there's something I've been meaning to tell you all, and I... Wait, where's Daphne? Sabrina spun around, but Daphne wasn't there.
She must have gone back to tell Elvis goodbye.
Daphne! We don't have time for this!
Henry shouted.
Daphne!
Veronica called. There was no response. Henry shook his head.
When did she get so stubborn?
Sabrina shrugged. Actually, that's what people usually say about me.
Wait here. I'll go after her, Henry said.
He took off running back the way they came. Veronica and Sabrina looked at one another, shook their heads, and then raced after him through brush and creek beds. Sabrina could hear her father shouting for her sister farther along the path, demanding that Daphne come back, but he was wasting his breath. Sabrina had been trying to manage her sister for some time, and it was like pushing a car up a hill. When Sabrina and her mother finally caught up with her father, he was standing in a clearing of trees with his hand clamped on Daphne's arm.
"This is unacceptable, young lady," Henry scolded.
"I'm not leaving," Daphne said. "They need us."
"What makes you think you can do anything to help?" Henry demanded. "You're only 5 years old."
"Dad, she's 7, Sabrina said. 8 in 2 weeks, and I've fought plenty of bad guys in the last year. I am a Grimm. This is what I do."
Just then, a dozen hulking figures stepped out from the trees surrounding the family. They all stood nearly 7 feet tall, and each had bumpy gray skin that looked like it had been peeled off an alligator. Their eyes were twice as big as a normal person's. Their ears, however, were unlike anything Sabrina had ever seen. Sharp, pointy, and covered in what looked like porcupine quills. Most held spears, though a couple clung to knotty clubs with dozens of rusty spikes jutting out of them. Their leader, a brute with a chest full of gaudy medals, stepped to the front of the group. His face was a collection of scars, broken bones, and jagged teeth. Like all of his soldiers, his chest was painted with the mark of the Scarlet Hand. He surveyed the Grimms, and then grinned like some twisted kid who had just decapitated all of his sister's dolls.
"I knew I recognized the foul stink that comes off humans, but I never suspected we'd meet ones who were so famous," he said.
"You want an autograph?"
Sabrina grumbled. Henry shot her a look that told her to keep her mouth shut. A second soldier stepped forward to join his boss. He was just as ugly, with a tuft of red hair on his decidedly pointy head.
"They must be coming from Charming's camp," he said. "They've allied themselves with the traitor and his troublemakers."
"That means the camp must be nearby," the leader crowed.
He turned back to the family and gnashed his yellow teeth.
"The master will reward us for finding the camp. To avoid any unpleasantness, perhaps you would like to tell us where it is."
"We don't have the foggiest idea what you are talking about," Henry lied. "We're not coming from any camp. My family and I are just out for a picnic."
The hobgoblin leaped forward and stood as close to Henry as he could. Their faces were only inches apart, and he blew his rank breath on him.
"You lie. You're a Grimm. All of you lie."
"That's not a very nice thing to say," Henry said. "I'm hurt."
"If you don't tell me where the camp is, you're going to be hurting a lot more."
Henry shook his head.
"We've gotten off on the wrong foot. Let's start over. My family and I are not involved with Charming or his camp. We have refused to take a side in your little conflict, and to avoid any further problems, we are on our way to the train station. So, if you'll kindly step aside and let us pass, we'll get out of your hair."
"You'll go where I tell you, human!"
The monster snorted, then turned to his men.
"Arrest them and bind their hands. If they won't take us to the fort, we'll beat the answer out of them, starting with their children."
One of the brutes clamped his hands down on Sabrina's arms. She tried to pull free, but he was impossibly strong. She could see the rest of her family getting the same rough treatment. Then there was a flash of fists and feet, loud groans, and the cracking of bones. At first, Sabrina thought that some unearthly force had come to their rescue, but it soon became clear that there was nothing supernatural at work, only her mother and father, who fought like trained prize fighters. Henry was like a tornado, whipping from one soldier to the next, planting punches with incredible accuracy. Sabrina had never seen someone so quick, and yet so precise. The way her father fought reminded her of a dancer, kicking and punching to a rhythm only he could hear. Veronica was not quite so elegant. She snatched a thick limb off the forest floor and clubbed anyone who got close to her. Sabrina remembered one evening when her parents had taken her to the boardwalk at Coney Island. They passed some batting cages, and Henry and Veronica decided to see who could hit the most fastballs. Veronica won by a landslide. Sabrina had felt bad for the balls that night, as her mom drove one after another into the netting. The monster's ribs and heads weren't nearly as hard as baseballs, but she swung for the fences anyway. Working together, Sabrina's parents managed to take out 8 of the monsters. Sabrina looked over at her sister.
"Our parents are so gravy," Daphne scowled. "That's not how you say it."
"Girls, run for the fort," Henry shouted, as he defended himself from one of the creatures who was charging him with a heavy chain in hand.
"We can help," Daphne said,
stepping into the fighting stance she had learned in self-defense class.
"Listen to your father," Veronica cried, jamming her branch into the belly of one of the beasts and knocking him to the ground.
Sabrina snatched her sister by the hand and pulled her down the path toward the fortress. She looked back, hoping her mother and father were right behind them, but they were nowhere in sight.
"We have to go back," Daphne said. "We can't just leave them." "You saw them. Our parents are tough," Sabrina said,
doing her best to sound confident.
"They'll be along soon."
They ran and ran, and by the time they came to Charming's camp, Sabrina's lungs were on fire, but she forced herself to shout for help. Daphne did the same. A sentry appeared in a tower and aimed a magic wand at them.
"Stand back, invaders!" he shouted,
and a second later, a blast of white-hot fire exploded at Sabrina's feet.
"Who goes there?"
he demanded.
"Open the gate!" Sabrina cried. "It's Sabrina and Daphne Grimm! Monsters are chasing us!"
The sentry blew a whistle, and the big doors swung open. Before the girls could take a single step inside, an infantry of armor-clad knights on horseback surrounded them. The girls were nearly trampled before Charming rushed to their side with his silver sword in hand. He snatched Sabrina by the arm.
"Where are these monsters?" he shouted.
"We ran into them, about a half a mile back," Sabrina said. "There are at least a dozen, maybe more. They're attacking my mom and dad."
"You fools! You have probably led them to us," he cried in disgust.
"Freaky monsters were trying to kill us," Sabrina said. "Should I have just died out there so you could keep your clubhouse secret?"
"Absolutely," the prince said.
"Well, well, well, look who's back," Puck said, hovering above the fortress wall. "I knew you'd show up again.
This little crush you have on me is getting embarrassing."
Enraged, Sabrina would have slugged the fairy boy, if not for the appearance of Henry and Veronica, slightly worse for wear. Sabrina's father's lip was bloody in the corner, and her mother had a long scratch on her right arm.
"We took care of them, Prince."
"How many were there?" he said.
14 that we saw," Henry replied.
"They're hobgoblins. We managed to subdue 12 of them. If you walk along the path, you'll find them."
"And the other 2?
"They ran," Veronica said, still clinging to her heavy branch. "Cowards."
Charming pulled a guard aside and ordered him to gather as many of Robin Hood's merry men as he could collect.
"Find those hobgoblins.
If they get back to the hand, they'll reveal where we are, and we'll be overrun by nightfall." A moment later, a well-armed posse of archers and swordsmen was racing into the forest in hot pursuit.